If you ask them to name three geniuses, they probably wouldn't say Einstein, Newton, you know. They'd go Brent, Partridge, Sessions. It's Flats and Shanks.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 8 of our weekly podcast, second series. I'm Tom Shanklin.
Shit intro. I'm David Flatman.
Oh, we'll do it again then, shall we?
No, leave it.
All right, fine.
Leave it. You want to do it, mate, you do it. How you doing, fella?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 8 of this weekly podcast called Flats and Shanks.
It's rubbish again, called Flats and Shanks. You need to be more like me, mate, in your general... Be yourself, first of all, but stop trying to copy me. And, like, you know, when we used to come out of our flat in London and I used to actually say hello to the odd neighbour and you were like, you're such a fucking weirdo. Oh, hello, morning. Hi, old chap.
Mate, I hate neighbours.
You hate people.
I don't hate people. I just don't want to, you know, I just don't want to speak to neighbours in the morning.
Remember our.
That's why I go to the gym in the morning really early, so I don't have to see anyone.
Yeah,
no, that and I just that.
And you hate your family.
That and to get muscles.
Hate your kids. Yeah, and I remember when the two things I remember about our neighbours were one, there was that guy directly opposite us, like across the gap, sort of thing.
Yeah,
and he had super loud opera music on with his windows open, so loud that we couldn't hear the telly. So remember, we emptied a whole cartridge of that semi-automatic BB gun I had. We emptied a whole cartridge of this BB machine gun through his window.
Yeah, just to shut that? Him up.
Didn't work, did it?
Yeah.
Then we put a note under his door, didn't we? Please shut up.
Yeah,
didn't work either. It was killing. We couldn't hear anything.
No.
And then there was that other guy.
He used to eat a lot of sweetbread, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, like Hannibal Lecter. Probably was him.
I wonder what his favourite drop was. Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it masks the pro quo. There was another neighbour who got done by the cops. Remember that? Were you still there then?
No.
And they came in, the police heard this massive noise and the police had smashed his door down and...
Really?
All sorts of stuff, yeah. And he got had his computer taken and got arrested and all sorts of...
I remember the lounge, because in this flat that flats had, he used to have these massive tall windows, like the length of the...
Floor to ceiling, we called them.
That's what we called them, yeah. Mm. And before, like, you know, the internet was really... stuck for words already. Before the internet was really invented.
Before it was invented.
We used to have an old blue movie. Used to put into the video player.
Yeah, you did, didn't you?
No, you did, didn't you?
No, you did. All right, I'm telling a story.
I
can swear. I can swear on my life, I never ever watched that movie.
You used to watch it on the beanbag on the TV, and then you realise people could see in, and there was no curtains because you're an animal.
You're a villain.
It was an addiction.
Oh, Christ.
Remember you went to see the doctor about it. Remember you went to see the doctor about it? Because I was worried about you.
It's fake news.
No, you saw a doctor about it.
Stop rewriting history.
I was worried about you. To start with, I thought you had a really bad cold because there's tissues everywhere. But we went to the doctor and I said, look, is this right? Because he's doing it all the time.
We had to go to the opticians in the end.
Four times a day. And the doctor said, no, he's all right. You know, it's good. You know, it's good for you. It gets the blood pumping around the body. You're exercising, you're living longer. And we went back and got the calculator out and realised that Flats is going to live forever. He's immortal.
But the actual truth is that one day you looked up on your beanbag and saw the neighbours looking down and laughing. Is it not? Is that not true?
I can't know.
Don't lie on a pod, mate.
What?
Bellend.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
But yeah, you used to have a go at me all the time for being too friendly. Do you remember once when... were you there when those guys ran into the car park with a gun?
No.
All right, so pulled into that car park. Our flat was in Stoke Newington in Hackney. And it was fine, wasn't it? Like a nice... Everyone said it was a super rough area, but we were always fine, weren't we? Like, it was, your car got done over once,
didn't you? Yeah, but we can take care of ourselves.
Yeah, and they were... Oh, God, I remember walking once with my ex-girlfriend, with Jules, walking along the road, and we were literally walking, I don't know, down the road to go for a dinner or something like that.
Yeah.
And we walked around the corner out the flat, and there's only one way. We're like, oh, no. And then we'd have been like 20-plus lads in the street, dark, all hoods up, a couple of bull terriers like mine, and they were all just covering the whole footpath and into the road. And I was like, and she was like, oh, let's turn around. And I was like, no, you can't turn around. I look back and think, absolutely you should have turned around.
Mm.
And they were all like smoking and spitting on the floor looking hard.
You have to impress her, don't you? She doesn't want to go out with a wimp.
Exactly it. Exactly
she was
it.
Testing you.
Pure ego. It was pure ego. And my ass was going properly because I was thinking, oh my God, they're going to beat me up or mug me in front of my girlfriend or something.
Mug you off.
And walked straight through and I just said, watch out, mate.
All right, lads.
And he just moved out of the way. So, yeah. Right, mate. They were, in the end, one of them, the dog like went to jump up and I was like, oh, steady, mate. He goes, oh, he's really friendly. I gave him a little stroke and they were really nice lads. Felt really bad and macho.
Set up a WhatsApp group, keep in touch.
Yeah. Anyway, so I punched him in the throat and walked on.
It was the Blazing Squad, was it?
Yeah, it was. It was so solid, mate.
All right.
It was so solid. It was Asher D and the lads. Yeah, those are the days. You got your car done over once, didn't you? After Arsenal lost at home or something, so your car got smashed up.
No, well, I used to have a Hyundai 1.3 Accent SI. And
what a shit car that was.
Yeah. I had to get a radio CD player, and it was one of those that you used to have to take the front off it, you know, when you left the car.
You always took the front off it as well, didn't you?
Yeah, but I could never be bothered to bring it in the house because I'd take it in the house and I'd forget to bring it, so I couldn't listen to the radio then. So I used to keep it under the car seat, and the bloody thieves caught on to that, didn't they?
Of course they did. First place they looked, all glovy, and then under there.
Yeah.
They nicked my Oliver Sweeney shoes at the back of your car as well.
Did they?
Yeah, I had some really nice shoes that I got from being in the England squad. Sorry
about
that.
Yeah, that's right.
Not Blazing, England. they nicked my blinking shoes. I remember bringing up and saying, oh, to the England team manager, I've lost my shoes.
That's right.
And they were like, can I have some more? And I was like, because we got the formal event after the game, and they were like,
because we put signs up around Stoke Newington saying, has anyone seen Aladdin's shoes? They were winkle pickers.
Not those ones, you dick. Oh. Not those ones.
Do you remember when we, because we used to live not too far from, was it Lake Blue Water and Lakeside?
Yeah.
Shopping centres.
Yeah.
So we used to go there now and again after training, didn't we?
Yeah.
Do you remember we went with Julian White and it was when the fart alarms first came out? Not the fart alarms, fart machines.
Remote control fart machines. With a speaker.
Yeah.
Oh. So we what this, a gag that was.
And these fart machines used to make like 7 or 8 different noises, didn't they?
Good bit of variety, actually.
Yeah, and they put it in my coat pocket and I was looking at magazines. Schmidt. And they were pressing it, and it was like, we just getting all these looks from people.
It was like WH Smith, wasn't it? And I remember pressing the button, and I remember I couldn't control myself.
No.
And thinking, I was like wheezing, and I remember the feeling of thinking, I need my aspirin inhaler, and I haven't got it. I remember thinking, I'm actually wheezing. I looked over, Julian White was on his hands and knees in WH Smith's. He's actually on his hands and knees. He's crying. He's properly crying, and we couldn't move.
We'd never seen anything like this, because obviously the closest thing that comes out would be a whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
And you can only do that when you're sitting down.
Oh, what a gag that was.
Yeah. Now you can probably get an app on your phone for it.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be as good, but...
No.
Oh, my God, that was genius. Mm. That was absolute genius.
Anyway,
what have you been up to? What have you been up to?
Okay. Not a great deal, I don't think.
Oh, good.
I'm trying to think what I did. I went to Ascot on Saturday to the races.
Was that a bloody lads trip?
No, it wasn't actually. It was couples.
Oh, well done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
which missus did you take? So you went with your wife. She dressed up. Did you dress up? What were you wearing? Suit and tie?
Yeah, I wore a suit and tie combo. It wasn't actually a suit and tie, but it was like, you know.
Did you wear any fake tan? Tell me the truth.
No. Don't. Why would I wear that? Actually, it's quite funny. Lee Burns got a book out at the moment.
He's piling to howlers, isn't he?
Yeah, he's ripping into everyone, really. He's talking... Actually, the snippets look quite good. He's talking about depression. He's talking about dealing with dyslexia.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't realise he was dyslexic.
No.
Because he used to read a book before games. But then after, like, reading the same book for 5 seasons... We're actually on the back of the bus... And I said to Bernie, can you smell petrol? And he went, mate, I can't smell my own name.
By the way, if it's you've got permission to take the piss out of your mates, that's...
But yeah.
You would make that gag to Bernie's face, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, of course I would. Done it anyway. He's got his little extract from his book says, we also shared a passion for male grooming. Maybe it was Gavin Henson who set the trend on that score, using fake tan and getting his body hair lasered. But the Fab Four were quick to follow in Gav's footsteps, and others followed us. Saint-Tropez made a mint out of us. Even Tom Shanklin started to look orange at one point.
Has he said that?
Yeah.
He's got a mention, mate.
Yeah, I know. That's all I wanted. So, yeah, where were we?
It's an interesting one, that the whole... We'll talk about what you've been up to in a minute, but the whole book thing, it's a really interesting one because I can't help but... And I, you know Bernie a lot better than me, but I know Bernie kind of socially a bit.
He's a great bloke.
He's a very, very good bloke. I was with him down at Ospreys.
So much fun to be around.
Great company, like very genuinely funny guy, like witty guy. So... But I do look, Bernie aside, not about Bernie's book, but I do look at these books and think, this is lads trying to make a splash to generate profile and money. And I can't remember the last rugby player or ex-rugby player who made a splash with a book or who made a load of money. And the numbers are obviously... They are relevant, but they're not something to share. But I got approached, believe it or not, by this very nice lady recently who said, I've read some of your stuff, whatever, I reckon you should write a book, and kind of a rugby book. And I've actually said, this London publisher, and I've actually said, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm not famous. That doesn't help.
Was it Mrs. Penguin?
It was Mrs. Penguin, yeah. It was Enid Blyton's daughter. No, it was, but that was, but I've said, no. And she said, well, I said, why not? She goes, well, you don't, I said, you don't, make it, it's a load of work, you don't make any money. She says, yeah, but you end up with something you're proud of. And I thought, well, that's a decent reason, but I wouldn't necessarily be proud of 50 rugby stories in a book.
Yeah.
But okay. But these lads are doing it for profile and money. And I said, well, does anyone make any money? And she said, oh God, no, you don't write books for money. So she said, you know, one book I know made a lot of money was, I think, Martin Johnson or Johnny Wilkins. I genuinely can't remember which one, released a book written by someone else after the World Cup. And that made really good money. And she told me how much it made. And I was like, mate, that isn't good money. Like, for the amount of work and the amount of exposure, like...
You call her mate, do you?
Yeah. Okay, I said, bro.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was like, oh, right. I was thinking you were going to say, like, it made hundreds of thousands of pounds. And it was like, no. It made, you know, if you're doing really well, you're sort of getting a golf TDI out of it. And I think that's fine. That's fine unless you are massively burning bridges and knifing prominent people. Then I think, is it worth it for a few quid? And I just don't. No, I just don't think it is.
Do you know what? I've not really got a story. I'm actually quite boring. There's nothing really that interesting about my rugby life growing up.
Or personality.
So, what do people want to hear? But to be fair to Bernie, he's pulled no punches in his book. He's been brutally honest, probably too honest. So I'm actually looking forward to reading the extracts. I mean, I'm going to buy his book. I'm not even going to buy his book, actually. I'm just going to go to Waterstones or Woolworths, wherever he's selling it. I don't know if Woolworths
look in the
anymore.
Index for the good bits.
Yeah, just look in the back. See my name. See what he said.
Yeah. But it's an interesting one. I just cannot see. So if you think that of all the lads that release these books with something stinging in it about somebody prominent, firstly, they're going to have to face them at some point, which I always find a bit awkward. But also,
especially in the rugby circles, and if you're doing media and if you're doing after dinner.
But are these guys, they're definitely going to meet them a few times, all the time. But are these lads, do they have a sort of a narrative that is burning a hole in them? Do they have a narrative that they are burning to release and they can't sleep and it's their mission to release this book and tell the truth and out somebody? Is it their mission? I don't think it is an editorial mission. I think it is a quest for PR and money. And while that is fine, because that is life after rugby for many of us, I just think, personally, I wouldn't savage... You know, there are things I could say about, you know, like...
Clive,
there are. But he was never nasty to me. But, you know, getting dropped on the... You know, they forgot to drop me, so I turn up at the hotel and the team manager rings me to drop me and I'm in the hotel car park. And there's all that sort of shit. And he's like, I could put that in a book and tell... 38 people that buy it. But actually, Clive...
The back row bastards that you hated.
Back row bastards?
Yeah. Hilly, Larlin...
Oh, I hated those bastards. Yeah. Still hate Hilly now. Still hate Hilly.
I mean, that's an interesting one,
Jones tweeted yesterday. Well, Nick Mullins tweeted a picture of his notes from Saracens Ospreys.
Yeah, I saw that, actually.
And I love that. And you see, I mean, I'm used to seeing commentators' notes.
That's a proper work of art, though.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, he's every game, every single game he does that.
Yeah, I saw you actually had his shoes on again today.
Yeah, that's right. I'm wearing his shoes. Yeah, yeah. But then someone commented, but Adam Jones said that was a great day and a great win. And the next week, Richard Hill played and we lost. Put it that way. Enough said. sort of thing. That's how good Hilly was. So yeah. Hilly missed a game and then came back and beat the same team because they had Hilly in it. But I mean, no one likes Hilly, do they?
That's a joke. Everyone loves Hilly. Interesting because you always like to read what the commentators have written about you.
Oh, I never thought of that. Yeah.
Struggles.
Injured a lot. Only plays 55 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
Turnstile.
So anyway, how was Ascot?
Needs to go to the butcher's to buy some guts.
Mm.
No, Ascot was good. It was good. Three winners, whatever.
Can you get your hand out your jeans, please?
But no. But I reckon I was about £100 up by the end of it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so pretty successful day.
Yeah.
But I
started... Is that including travel and tickets and everything?
That was all free.
Oh, of course it was, sorry.
It's corporate.
Bit of corporate.
Yeah, but... And I had no formula about what to bet on. You know, I'd look at the program, and if a name came up that I quite liked, I would jump on it, so to speak, and go have a bet. But then I'd ask other people what they're betting on, and they'd tell me, oh, this horse is going to be really good. So I'd go out again and put more bets on. So I'd have, like, nearly all the horses in the race.
Yeah. Yeah, tenner on each, please.
Yeah. But, no, it was a nice day. Apparently, it was the weekend with the most prize money for... the trainers' owners. So it was good. The Queen was there.
Was she?
Mm.
Say hello.
No.
Well, Tin's there.
No, I don't actually know. It might have been, but
yeah.
But it was nice. It was good. I don't often go to the races. Then we saw George Ezra. He was playing after.
Oh, I like him.
Well, I know one of his songs. That was it. Budapest.
Yeah, Budapest, yeah.
Yeah. I've been quite happy if you just put that on repeat all the time, like in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah. It's like, bro, just sing your song. Yeah. Do your song, mate. It's like Chesney Hawkes, and he starts singing, it's some new stuff I've written, guys. No, let me stop you there, Ches.
Yeah.
Let me stop you there, kid.
The Proclaimers. Just yeah. Sing it.
Just sing it. Have a break. Sing it. Fuck off.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Well done.
Watched you on Friday night at Bath.
At Scarlett's.
Scarlett's. Yeah. What have you been up to then? You've just been working rugger?
Oh, I had a shocker Friday night, mate.
No. Oh, you did that again, did you?
No, not that.
Oh, right.
I turn up and it was pissing with rain.
Oh, I saw.
And I was like, that's all right. I'll just go in the back of my car because I always keep a couple of coats in the back of my car because I'm always around the grounds and whatever. I opened my boot and it was like, ah, shit, I'd cleared it all out because I had my car serviced overnight and I swapped it into my mate's car that he lends me when he services my car from Land Rover because he lives down the road. And my coats are in the back of his car in Bath. I had this moment of inspiration where, I'm like, oh my God, he would have driven here to watch the game and he hadn't. And I was like, so I was in a grey cashmere jacket in the pissing rain, looked like an absolute muppet.
And you were doing it with Joe Cocker.
Wasn't a brown jacket though, was it?
No, were you doing it with Joe Cocker?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, actually people have been tweeting about that. You wore a blue one the following week, you wore a grey one this week. You look younger when you wear those types of jackets and colours because you always wear brown and tweed. And I always reckon that makes you look older.
I've got a couple of new jackets coming, actually.
And you've had a shave, and your head shaved today, you know.
Yes, because I'm eating some trendy people for lunch. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But yeah, yes. I've got a couple of jackets coming, actually. The thing is, mate, I'm not like you. Like, you're very much stronger than the average man, but you're quite big, but you're much stronger than your size suggests.
Yes, like a larger on XL would fit me.
Yeah, but every jacket I own has to be bespoke. Like, even made to measure doesn't work anymore.
No.
So I have to have it bespoke, and apart from being prohibitively expensive, it takes 2 or 3 months to get a jacket. So I've got 3 jackets coming. I've just had 2 dinner suits I've just picked up. I wear dinner suits all the time, so I've just picked up 2 new dinner suits. And I've got 3 jackets on the way from a place I use, and that'll be great. But I've got unfortunately I've got a tweed one, but it's kind of a fun tweed one.
Oh, nice.
I've got another different kind of navy one, and I've got like a grey one.
Mixing it up.
Yeah, but it's all very well. One of the ones I got from them last year was this, like, I wanted this kind of...
foul fashion?
Electric-y blue type thing for summer, and it came, and it's just, I look like a bingo caller. So I basically paid all this money, and I've worn it once, and I just won't wear it again.
Look like you're selling ice cream, do you?
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
I need white velvet gloves.
But anyway, you got soaking wet, I saw.
Oh my days, yeah, which is fine, it just looks stupid. I don't mind, you know.
Because it was obviously light grey, so you could see the wet on it, whilst Joe Cocker had a blue one. It's not Joe, is it? It's Tim.
Yeah, it's Sean.
Yeah.
Tim Cocker. Oh, sure. Tim Cocker, yeah.
Which I didn't realise, but he's actually presents another rugby podcast.
Who, Tim Cocker?
Yeah.
Yeah, Egg Chasers, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got JB, who's he'll be listening now from the Egg Chasers. Just have a look at his like tweets, right? His timeline. If you're ever so bored, you're thinking, what's the point of living? Have a look at that, because I mean, it is your last resort. But he, I accused him this week, tongue in cheek, of having ODD, oppositional defiance disorder. And I've actually Googled it, and it says there is no treatment for oppositional defiance disorder, which I find unusual. But he basically disagrees with everything.
Okay.
That everyone says. Have a look. And JB, I think you need help.
Yeah, okay, he was saying that about the new law that's been put in by...
Everything's a joke.
Because the regime don't like it.
Tim's very good at his job. So, yeah, so interesting few days. I mean, it's one of those... Are you finished, by the way? You've been to Ascot.
No, mate. That's it. I'm interested in you.
Okay, that's the main reason we came, isn't it?
String it out, because you don't have any questions.
We do.
Yeah, I know.
It's interesting, because I remember ages ago, Ben Kay, the last round of Europe or whatever, last season, he was like... few miles getting covered this weekend, and it was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and it showed his map on Google Maps, this is where I'm going, and it was crazy. Like, it was a crazy amount of miles. And they had like 100 people replying, oh, sorry, some of us have got real jobs. Some of us, it's like, oh, fuck, bore off, mate.
It's like your job can't be hard.
Yeah, and Ben wasn't saying, I hate my job. He was saying, what, this is punchy, I'm going to be knackered Sunday night. That's all he was saying.
You've got to get up for it on TV, haven't you? Like, I've got to actually get myself up for this podcast.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a performance. I probably won't even open my mouth.
But the mileage. Anyway, I was thinking about it this week, and I had, this is nothing to do with work, but like, my dad calls me on Tuesday and said, look, we're having a little dinner for Mum tomorrow night for her birthday, which was last week. So,
it's up in my phone.
You know, yeah. Yeah, of course it is, a little reminder. That was like on Thursday. It was like I drove to Kent, which is not that far. It's 3 hours, and then have dinner and drove back, and that's fine. The next day, drove to West Wales, and drove back. And there's a horrible accident, and there's a diversion, and there's driving through Port Talbot at 1:30. Get home at like 1:30, 8:00. Straight back in the car, driving to BT Sports Studios in East London. And I finished there at 5:45, and I'm when I say running, I mean walking out the door as quick as I can, straight back into the car, flat out at the national speed limit, round the M25, down the M4, straight into Central Bath, don't come home, get changed by the back of the car into a tux,
old school,
good dinner suit, straight into this thing to help with my mate's charity auction. It's a charity called Dorothy House, Jerry Guscott's favourite charity, actually, but help with the auction. And it's like, go, and got back here at about 12:30, on Saturday night, and I was just absolutely fucking broken. And it's one of those things that I saw. We went out for Sunday lunch yesterday, because it's Monday morning here, by the way. We went out for Sunday lunch yesterday in Bath, saw a couple of mates in the pub, and like, what have you been up to? I said, I was over there. And they're like, oh yeah, cool. You know, oh, that's cool. Couple of games. You're like, mate, honestly, I've been in the car for 14 hours in the last day and a half, 2 days. Like, but yeah, it's not a complaint. It's just like, it's funny. Really enjoy all of it. Woke up on Sunday morning and I was just absolutely broken.
Yeah, like it would be, if only people only see you on TV. They don't see the...
Yeah, of course they don't.
The travelling and and the research and
everything
that goes into it.
But often it is genuinely easier to just, if they say, right, you're in Claremont this weekend, you're like, oh, happy days. All I've got to do is drive 40 minutes to Bristol Airport.
Yeah.
And so that's done. The rest of it's easy. You're not sitting in traffic and you're not doing... sort of 4 hour journeys each way. And
what do you have for Sunday dinner, mate?
Well, I had roast beef, which might not surprise you.
Okay.
Yeah, it was very nice, actually. Yeah, perfectly nice. Got, kids are away this week, mate. They're with the in-laws in Holland. Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Do you know what? There's this interesting little dilemma, actually, and some of our male or female listeners might relate to this. So my wife is work. She's upstairs now having a lie-in, but she's working this week. So she's working 3 or 4 days, whatever this week is, in Bristol. And so straight away last night, I was like, hey, I'm going to go and see Danny Grewcox down in Devon, because it's half term and he works at a school down there with his family. I was like, I might go to Devon for a few days this week, because I've got a few days off, because nobody books anything in half term because they're all away. So kids are away. I might go take the dogs down to Devon for a few days. And she's like, oh, great. So we finally get some time on our own, and you're going. I was like, I hadn't even thought of that. It was like, well, she'll get home from work at 7. We'll watch TV from like 7:30
yeah.
to like 9:15, 9:20. Watch a couple of episodes of Tin Star or Liar or something.
I finished that.
She'll go to bed and I'll be like, I could be in Devon drinking pints with Dan and I could be going fishing in the morning with Dan and doing a barbecue. So long story short, I'm going.
Can't. I've been watching Mindhunter on Netflix.
Me too. I really like that.
Yeah, so do I.
Tin Star, I'm bailing out of Tin Star after 6 episodes. It's fucking
boring.
Yeah,
I watched them all, but I ended up fast forwarding quite a lot of it.
It's so boring.
But I really like Tim Roth as an actor.
He genuinely amazing. I was saying that the other day. He is amazing.
No, I said it first.
No, but he's so natural.
Mm.
So natural. But yeah, I'm enjoying Mindhunter. I really like that. Do you do that thing where, and don't get all 2017, you're all sexist, but I am a heterosexual man and I can appreciate a good-looking man, but I find good-looking women more attractive than good-looking men, because that's how I'm wired up. But that, I often find, like, I watch a series like that and I will, one of the stars in it will be female and I will Google her and find out.
You'll go on Mr. Skin, won't you?
Whatever. No. Anyway, my wife walked past and I was watching Mindhunter, she doesn't watch it, and the woman in it, whatever, she's really gorgeous, and I was Googling her. And I was like scrolling through and she's standing behind me. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I knew she wasn't American. She goes, oh, she did know. So, yeah. I could tell by the accent. What
saved
is she?
Yourself,
Australian.
Didn't you? Saved yourself.
Australian. She's like, oh, right. And walks off.
So, the Doctor in Mindhunter, is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought you were going to say then that the guy, the Holden's really, really attractive.
I was also Googling the guy, what's his name?
Holden.
Not Holden, the other guy.
Yeah.
I never know, but really Butch, sort of big look, big bloke.
Yeah,
he's been in loads of movies. I think he's great as well.
Yeah,
he's really, really good actor.
There you are.
Yeah. So all sorts, Tommy boy.
It's Leo Vegas bet time.
Go on then, have a bet. What was your bet last weekend?
I think it was Scarlets by 6 points or more.
Yeah, so
maybe.
You lost that.
So
you cost the kids. Children need some money.
The weather lost it.
Poor kids.
That's all I'm saying.
Poor bloody kids.
That's the only way you beat the Scarlets. And
all right,
like
let's have a bet then. Let's bet on Saints Wasps. Is it Wasps Saints or Saints Wasps?
It's Saints Wasps.
Mm.
3 o'clock Saturday afternoon.
What are you saying?
Well, I reckon Northampton are going to win. A couple of bad results last couple of weeks.
Okay.
I think we'll see a massive bounce back. Although Wasps were good yesterday.
Very good yesterday.
Against a pretty average Harlequins team, mind.
Yes, you're going Saints.
I'm going to go Saints, mate. I'm going to go Saints.
Be bold, mate, will you?
Okay, I'm going to go Saints by 6.
Okay.
Are you happy with that?
I'm perfectly happy with that.
Okay.
And I'll say this, I'll say good luck to you.
Okay, Northampton Saints by 6 points or more against Wasps on Saturday, 3 o'clock, Shanklin's Gardens.
Hey, let's talk about some bloody rugger. Go on.
Can I start?
You starting?
The Parra concussion. We'll start with that.
Yeah.
So Morgan Parra takes a knee to the head.
Yeah.
Ben Whitehouse, who's referee in that game, says straight away that he is unconscious.
Yep.
He's knocked out.
Yep.
I don't believe he's unconscious. When that knee hits his head, he does it. You don't see him black out straight away. You see him hit the ground, then roll onto his front, and then put his hands on his face. To me, that's not unconscious. To me, that's ow, that hurts. I might be slightly dazed. But I don't think he was knocked unconscious like Ben Whitehouse says. Therefore, he's allowed back onto the pitch.
But Ben Whitehouse said it, so that overrules. But isn't it video evidence is number one, then the opinion of the referee?
But a referee, surely it's down to a doctor to determine whether he was conscious.
Well, no, because a doctor doesn't get there often until they've woken up.
But you could see on the. For my point is, you could see on the TV that I don't think he was knocked out straight. You see players that get knocked out straight. So you saw. It was the Wasps centre that come on, the Harlequin centre that come on yesterday.
Oh, it was Matey Boy, wasn't it?
Yeah. Goes straight into the, gets his head caught
straight. Siley.
Siley gets
that
straight
horrible,
into the
that.
Middle. Yeah. But you can tell that straight away. You can tell by the way they fall.
Yeah.
You could not tell by the way Morgan Parra
falls. There is some properly shoddy tackle technique going on these
that was,
days.
That was
terrible.
Horrific. You've got to get your head down to the side.
I'm glad Hugo said it as well, because that is terrible. It's unfortunate. It's terrible technique.
Actually, I forgot on the weekend, mate. I did a bit of coaching on Friday night. Penarthians.
Yeah,
went up there, did it for my mate. Did a bit of coaching with the under-13s.
Oh, for Wolf, wasn't it?
Yeah, for the Wolf. Yeah. James Rainbow. Helped him a little bit with tackle technique, and they had a bit of a poor start to the season. And guess what? At the weekend?
Lost.
How do you know? No, they won. But yeah, anyway, so Morgan Parra goes off as an HIA, pass it, and is allowed back on the field, mostly because of Lopez breaking his leg.
Yeah.
I didn't watch it. I text you to see if it was bad. If you were going to say no, it wasn't bad, I was going to watch it. You're my gauge.
I can't watch it. Do you know what's interesting? Everyone's different. So I was in the studio, and we have to talk about it and that sort of stuff. And as soon as I heard Benny Kay say, oh, no, or Oog say, no, I can't. French TV, they say this, they love it, and they kept replaying it. I still haven't seen it. I know what happens. I haven't seen it. But last night, my wife's like, oh, was it really bad? And she was like YouTubing it and watched it about 10 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, who are you, man?
Some of my mates send me videos, and they're just horrific, some of the injuries you see.
Yeah, I can't watch it at all. I really hate
it. I remember my little daughter quite likes gymnastics. I remember during the Rio Olympics, I said, oh, Rosie, come and have a look at this. They're doing the vault. And as soon as I said that, it was the French guy who came in, did the vault, landed on his leg, and his bone snapped out.
No.
She's like, Daddy, I don't like it, Daddy.
I don't like it.
But what are your thoughts on that then, with the para concussion, mate? Because you're always good for an opinion.
Video evidence, I go with you on that.
Okay.
I don't agree. He looked knocked out. I get the feeling that Ben Whitehouse may have jumped the ref, may have jumped the gun in saying he was unconscious.
Yes, I agree.
And that has muddied the waters. I think he hurt himself, but I agree. When you see someone knocked out, they're not rolling, they're not covering their face.
No, they're gone.
They're sucking the grass in, and I think there is a good chance he wasn't knocked out at all, but he hurt himself.
He took a bit of a hammering as well, didn't he, Ben Whitehouse, on social media with some of the decisions that were made.
Yes, it's an interesting one. And then
a lot of ex-players were tweeting about
it. Yeah, and it's one of those ones where, so we're sitting in the studio, right, and commentating or being in the studio, whatever. What you don't, you have the
what
benefit.
What do you prefer?
For commentating.
Okay.
What you don't have, you do have the benefit of replays, but you actually don't have the benefit of watching it for a few hours and formulating an opinion and finding out what everyone thinks on Twitter and listening to what clever people think. And
yeah.
You've got to make your own mind up and take an editorial line and stick with it. That's the point. So my view is that I don't like criticising referees. However, if a referee has such a big impact on a game and gets, in my view, so much wrong, a number of key decisions wrong,
yeah.
I think if you don't mention it and you say everything's fine, first of all, you don't improve the refs. Second of all, there's no pressure to improve the ref, or is less. Second of all, you become that football manager who's watched his player dive and denies he's dived, and you become ridiculous. Your credibility is diluted. So my point was, we criticise the errors of players. It's not personal. It's just errors. We all made them. I'm going to criticise the ref. I think he's got a few things very wrong. So disallowed a try for Dylan Hartley that was legal. So the pat back, Alex Waller pats it back through the mall. Ball goes backwards. That's legal. That's a try. Then Ben Foden, Lamorat doesn't ever release the player on the line. To Northampton lose a, you know, have a try disallowed, then they have a penalty on the line when under a period of sustained pressure. Well, there's no penalty. That's just a breakdown decision. Every ref does that. We would all make those mistakes. But the Dylan Hartley, you know, I feel like if it's not Dylan Hartley, he ain't getting yellow carded. And then Slimani, that's a clear elbow to the head in retribution for what Dylan accidentally did to him before. So, and you know what? As soon as you do it, sorry, mate. As soon as you defend someone like Dylan Hartley and you're English, people always come forward and say you're an apologist. I don't give a shit what one person on Twitter thinks of my view of Dylan Hartley.
He's from New Zealand.
He was guilty.
He's from New Zealand anyway, mate.
If he was guilty, I would say so. When he's been guilty before, I've said so. That was never a yellow card. Slimani's was never a yellow card.
Do you know what I think
red.
Of Dylan Hartley? And you look at him and you look at his eyes when he's hitting that ruck, and his eyes aren't on Slimani at all. His eyes are on the guy he's cleaning out. So he's not looking where he's going. But if you're going to throw, I think he's quite clumsy in the way he plays. But I think he's thought, like, if I throw this arm with a clenched fist.
It's not a clenched fist. It's an open thumb he hits him.
All right.
Well, it's the back of his thumb.
It might connect with something. If it connects with something, great. If it doesn't.
But if you watch his eyes, he's nowhere near. No. I don't even see Slimani.
Yeah, no, I know. I know that's just my view on him.
Dylan's done that stuff loads of times. Yeah. So there's no point in defending that.
It was hard. But no, what I'm saying is his eyes went on him. He wasn't looking to punch. But he's sort of thinking, right, if this arm comes through and I follow through.
But you've got to look at evidence.
It might, yeah.
You know, and
I am assuming, but that's...
Yeah. that makes an ass of you mainly.
And me.
Not me, because I'm not. But it, you know, Slimani is a targeted elbow to the head, and he's like, oh, he hits the shoulder of the player. I was like, come on, son, you know.
Yeah, Joe Marlow was actually quite lucky with that as well.
He was, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
It wasn't being held for long either. He just lost it.
Yeah.
You know,
You know, and a lot of people, it's funny, a lot of people don't like the way Joe behaves on the field a lot of the time. And it's a difficult one because you don't want to.
I quite like
it's 2017, so you can't condone violence anymore in any form. However, I love the way Joe Marlow plays, and I don't apologise for that.
On the edge. Yeah, I quite like the shot of him and Haskell before the game, just having a hug and a laugh.
It's great.
Yeah.
They don't care.
What happened? Don't care. Have you got any insight into Marlon Yard and why he was removed from the matchday squad?
No, I haven't actually. I haven't really had a dig. Just because Quinns were playing yesterday, I didn't want to sort of dig, you know, get in touch with any of the players or anything. But
something internally went on. We don't know about it. I mean, if anyone knows, please tweet us in.
He's probably gone out of the piss, hasn't he? That's usually what it is.
Jamie Roberts, tweet us, tell us what happened. Yeah,
yeah.
Probably or turned up late to a meeting, stunk up booze, or yeah, you don't know, but yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, something like that. But
don't assume, David.
Okay. Who knows?
Yeah,
I'm semi interested. I've got to be honest. I'm not. Even if Quinns weren't playing yesterday, if you'd asked me to try and find out, I would have tried. Otherwise, I don't even bother trying to find out. It's like the Manu and Deli Solomona stuff. I just couldn't give a shit. Don't care. It doesn't interest me, all that stuff.
Nandolo.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
He loves slow cooking, smoking meat like I do. We're like brothers.
I was like Nandolo on Friday night against the under-13s.
Were you?
Yeah, that's what it's like.
Yeah.
You know, you're so much bigger than them.
They'll eventually get you down, but you can do what you want first.
Eventually, yeah, for like four or five of them.
See, what I like about Nandolo is his finish was just outrageously good.
Do you know what I'd really like to see, though?
Amazing.
I'd love to see him in a foot race between, like, I don't know, Christian Wade or Johnny May.
Oh, he'd be miles off.
I know, but I'd just like to see that because you can tell that he's probably got not that much pace.
Yeah, he's quite quick off the mark.
Yeah.
Reasonably agile, but the offloads he got away against Chiefs. Oh, beautiful.
No, I know.
Beautiful.
And that little bit of footwork before Thomas Francis.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a pretty shoddy tackle. That's very, very nice.
It was shoddy, but a prop's easily beaten with footwork like that. That he was just great.
But you shouldn't be scoring from there when the line's set.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
But yeah, that finish was incredible. But
What a win for Chiefs though.
But if you get a chance, amazing. Try and have a look at his. I mean, is there any clips out from BT about his sort of individual performance in his offloads?
Yeah, there were clips of on the highlights last night. There were clips of his offloads.
Have a look at some of the offloads.
Oh my days!
Round the back, round the front.
Where he gets him away.
Yeah.
He's not as good as Leone Nakawara, who is the best offloader in the world game.
Okay.
Why does he is very, very good.
Nandolo's only started wearing a scrum hat as well recently.
What? Yeah. Why is he wearing a scrum hat?
I don't know. Maybe he had a good game and then he wanted to carry on wearing it.
Yeah, well, quite often I don't have to do it anymore, but I remember I had a few cuts on my head that wouldn't heal up, so you'd wear a hat.
It's horrible.
So they could heal up, but some people wear it and feel that gets lucky. And
it's horrible, though. Horrible. You can't hear things, and it's... You know, the strap under your chin all the time.
Horrible. Did you ever wear one?
I had to wear one a couple of times because I had stitches.
Yeah.
But I didn't like it at all. And it just doesn't suit me.
No.
Well, it should do because I've got a pretty face, but it didn't.
It should do because it covers up some of your head.
But, yeah, worn with sunglasses as well. Yeah. But Nandolo was awesome and celebrated with the Nandos after.
Steph Evans scored an amazing try Friday night.
I know.
For Scandalous.
Everyone's talking. We mentioned Steph Evans a lot on this podcast. Now, Shane Williams wrote something in or was quoted in the papers to say that he shouldn't start for Wales. He might start now because George North is
Shane
injured.
Said that?
Yeah, he shouldn't start. They should blood
what
him
does Shane know about playing on the wing for Wales?
That's what
though.
I said. But I think he's that good. He's played that well. He's done the hard yards as well. Right? This isn't his first season. He's not just burst onto the scene. You know, he's probably had two or three good seasons now with the Scarlets, and he's done it the hard way. So he's properly earned the right now to play for Wales, not through injury, not through desperation. He's being picked on form, and I reckon start with him straight away. He's that good. He just roams around the field. We're speaking about it earlier, weren't you? Saying that he's never on his wing. You know, he's always popping up around the place, which is fine. But you have to have that understanding of the team then. So someone then has to keep the width. So you see Aaron Shingler a lot on the wing.
I like him.
You know, keeping... Yeah, he is. I spoke really to you about like him. He's athletic, isn't he?
Yeah.
Anyway, it brings us on to the Bath game. Now, I think had that been dry conditions,
yeah,
I think Scarlets would have quite easily won. But I know I am assuming again. I know you hate that, but
we're all assuming. That's my opinion. Speculate. I think you're right. I think you're probably right. Tell you what, interesting about Steph Evans, and we planned this chat pre-match, but you always run out of time and whatever. Especially when Sean Holly and I are on the same show, you run out of time.
How was Sean?
Yeah, it's great, actually. Very, very nice to work with. So there was this comparison between Rocco Dunguni and Steph Evans. And what you've basically got is Rocco, ball in hand, is unplayable when he's got any space at all. Otherwise, Steph Evans is between two and three times as effective in every single other area. And it's one of those things that Bath fans hate it, but I love Rocco and love watching him play as much as everyone else does. But Steph Evans carries twice as much ball. His average carry is twice as productive in terms of meters made.
Yeah.
Rocco makes 0.2 passes a game or something. He never passes it. He dies with the ball. He either scores or dies with the ball. Steph Evans makes 3-point-something offloads or passes a game. Then it's like missed tackles. Steph Evans is not brilliant, actually, but decent. They're both at around 70%. So that's one area where they're reasonable. But actually, in terms of comparisons, it's not all about stats, but you're like, holy moly, this is like comparing Jack Noel with Rocco.
Yeah.
He's just so much more productive.
He's more like Jack Noel, wasn't he? You know, the instances in the game.
Yeah.
Far so higher much more productive. Yeah. He's not just a finisher. You know, he's up picking the ball at nine. He's looking for the fringes. He's looking to attack, you know, props and some of the forwards around the guard area.
But in terms of what he offers over the course of a game, he leaves pure finishers in the dust. So who was Shane saying should start then? George North?
Well, it would have been like George North, Lee Halfpenny and Liam Williams.
Okay.
Potentially. But George,
do you know what, mate? I mean, Shane is one of the greatest of all time. I don't agree with that.
In the workplace.
I tell you who I really thought was good on Friday night was Lee Halfpenny. A couple of mistakes because it was a wet ball, but I thought he looked really good ball in hand. Like a good acceleration looked good. He looked committed to running the ball back a few times. I tell you what I found odd, right? And this is what I found odd. I watched him get the ball a few times and pass it. And his passing off his left hand looked exactly like my passing off my left hand. Like it went to the right place, but you're like, whoa, can he not pass off his left hand? It was really strange.
He can't.
Really?
He spins it the other way. Like the old school, you know.
It was really strange.
No, he can pass off his left hand, I'm joking. Yeah. But he's not, I wouldn't say that he's the most comfortable player, ball in hand. And that's why you don't see him feature that much like an inverse receiver. So someone like Alex Good often comes in the line.
Yeah.
He's another ball player
half at
10.
Time.
Yeah. But you don't see as much with that Willie Halfpenny. He's more wider channels. He's not, I mean, he came through basically on the wing. He was a winger, and they converted him to a 15 because he had all the attributes. You know, he's brave, he's a good kicker, very good under the high ball, very good defensively as well.
Was he a right winger?
Yes.
Yeah, so he didn't have to pass off his left hand very often. Honestly, I noticed that and thought that is odd.
But it's always been the case. It's always been the case. You know, you often don't see him coming in first receiver and bringing someone on dummy line and then throwing a 15, 20 metre pass. You know, he's more out wide, kick receipt.
Yeah,
kick the ball back and then score 18 points a game.
Did you see that Reece Priestland was great? Did you see when he just took he steamed up on Patchell and just took the ball off his boot? Patchell was about to kick it where Priestland nearly scored that runaway try but accidentally knocked it on.
Yes.
And he just stuck his toe out and just took it off the boot of Patchell and hacked it through. That was genius.
Yeah.
That was a touch of genius, that.
I think he'd be in the Welsh squad now. I think the Welsh squad's being announced.
Do you think he will be?
I think so. He's been playing well for Bath. He's been keeping Freddie Burns out.
Who else is there?
There's a few. There's Bigger. There is Owen Williams, who's at Gloucester at the moment.
Barely played.
Featured a little bit. He played 12 at the weekend. There is Sam Davis.
Sam Davis looked good on the other night against Saris when he was...
There's Gareth Anscombe, but he's injured at the moment. So there's a few.
You can't. I like Reece Patchell a lot. You can't tell me he's playing as well as Priestland at the moment. He's not. In fact, don't tell me that. You can't tell me that.
I can, because he's been playing very well, and you can't just judge that by the weekends.
I can.
Action.
I can.
They've both been playing well. It'd be difficult to pick between them. But if you're looking at bringing the next batch of players through, you know, Reece Priest, and what is he, nearly 30 now? Patchell's younger.
37 now, Reece Priest. It's amazing, isn't it?
But no, I'm just saying, they're both playing very well.
Let's rewind again before I forget and okay. go on a tangent. Did you see, I mean, often you can't watch every game because there's 150 games a weekend.
Oh, I do, mate.
Montpellier Exeter, did you see Henry Slade's performance?
I saw the highlights of it, and I saw player cam.
It
wasn't player cam, it was just...
Mate.
Highlights footage of Henry Slade.
Mate.
Yeah.
England 13. Mm. I bet he won't be, but I bet he should be. He was superb. Superb.
I think they found his position now.
What a player.
Don Armand as well.
Oh,
will he play?
It's funny, you know. I bet you he doesn't play. I bet
How's it funny?
It's when you think about it. He's. I bet you. Here's a bet for you. I bet you it's Courtney Laws at six. Jeez, he deserves his spot. Full on. He's amazing. I bet you it's Nathan Hughes at eight, and I bet you it's Chris Robshaw at seven. Bet you.
Nathan Hughes was good yesterday.
Yeah, he was. Nathan Hughes is a wrecking ball. Someone said yesterday he hasn't been playing that well. I don't agree with that. I think he's been great. I bet you that's the number. I bet you that is it.
Yeah, Henry Slade is silky.
The second unluckiest channel. Player to miss out in the whole league is Sam Simmons, but he's missing out because he's still young. The most unlucky player will be Don Armand because he should be playing. The issue you've got is I don't think you cannot pick Courtney Laws at the moment. He's playing that well in a team that's underperformed a few times. He has been absolutely fantastic.
Fantastic.
And then you've got Marrow and Cruz in the second row. I think they pick themselves as well. So then the slots you've got left, you have to have a banger at eight. You know, you've got Nathan Hughes around. Nathan Hughes has to play. One of them. Yeah, but then you've got, you know, Don Armand at seven versus Robshaw. Over the ball, I don't, probably pretty close. Neither of them turn over a huge amount of ball. I'm going to be completely frank. I'll be frank if you be Peggy. I would pick Don Armand at seven for England.
Okay.
Because I don't think you lose a lot versus Chris Robshaw.
Better than Sam, I think, at Bath?
Underhill.
Yeah.
Overhill. I think I'd Underhill very close. I would cap him in the autumn. I would also find a way to cap Sam Simmons. Get them both involved in one of the more winnable games. But I would start with Laws, Armand and Nathan Hughes.
There was a huge discussion.
I don't care what you say about it.
No discussion. There was an article coming out about the RFU not happy with Wales, the WRU, poaching all these players.
What players now?
Yeah, exactly.
Who are they poached?
Well, who are they poached? It would be some... I'm not sure who they poached.
Exactly. Not much of an article then, is it?
No, but it is someone.
Is it?
Yeah.
You should do your research before you bring something like that up, because now you sound stupid to all of us.
But
I
was sort of hoping that you had done it.
Nope.
Well, I'll Google it and have a look now. But did you like Danny Kerr's attempt on Nathan Hughes' tackle? First half.
Do you know what? I was watching that and...
I don't know what went through his head.
Do you know what I said? What? I was like, oh, Danny. Because Danny's a tough bloke. Like, he's little, but he's tough. And I was like, oh, no. Because that was... even in touch, that wouldn't have been called back, would it?
No.
Two-handed below the hips? I don't think it was.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, no. Not good.
So I've done a little bit of research now, Flats. And this article that came out from the RFU... England have asked world rugby bosses to help to stop Wales and other home nations supposedly poaching some of the best young players to come through their system. They've used Ross Moriarty as an example, even though his father played for Wales.
Where did he play, though?
It's other Celtic nations as well.
They use Tom Shanklin as an example as well?
I wish. So that's what they've done. They're using another example of Ben Woodburn for Wales football. Because Ross Moriarty played age group level for England, didn't he?
Yeah.
Mm. So, waiting for a response from the WRU because they will respond to that. But I think
the RFU have complained about that.
Is there 19 Welsh players playing in England at the moment in the Viva Premiership?
Don't know. Mm. Yeah, I will.
But anyway, back to Wasps.
That's a problem as old as time, isn't it? That, I mean, you know,
mind games, so I say. How fast was Christian Wade for his try? to charge down.
Yeah, he's super rapid, isn't he?
Good play, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Smith took a little bit too long to put on his boot. Jamie Roberts' angle didn't really hold anyone, so Gopeth, easy for him.
Mm.
Very good.
Yeah, and that young Willis, that lad in the back row, came on and
kept
turnovers. He looks great, doesn't he?
So good. Doesn't wear a gum shield either. Always picks up on stuff like that, yeah. How can you not wear a gum shield?
Oh, how do you
Unless you're a nine when you've got to talk all the time. But Mike Brown, yellow. I thought, right, if that's a yellow card, it has to be a penalty try.
Yeah.
It wasn't, but it didn't matter anyway because Ashley Johnson scored.
Yeah, how about the Dan Evans yellow and penalty try?
Yeah.
Against, I think that's a yellow card. I don't think that's a penalty try. Because that pass is going to stop him.
Well, you don't know how good the pass is going to be because if the pass is crisp and he doesn't have to check his stride, he's going to run onto it and he's going to score. But the amount of times you see in those situations where the pass is a little bit behind the player or the winger, it checks their stride. They don't have the momentum then to take him over to the try line. And
cover gets them.
Yeah.
But Brian O'Driscoll doesn't think it was a penalty try. And I want to go with Brian because if you disagree with him, you know what he gets like. He's so aggressive, isn't he? You know what he's like. He's a nightmare. He
comes around your house and sets fire to your car.
He'll be sending aggressive texts and stinging emails and slagging you off and all sorts, won't he?
Yeah, calling you a slug.
Oh, bloody nightmare.
But yeah, Harlequins had to score half-time. They had a chance right before half-time. There was a driving line out. Didn't get anywhere near scoring. And 21-3 half-time. Mm. Basically game over.
Yeah, gamesies, wasn't it?
Josh Bassett.
Yeah.
Always performs, doesn't he?
The Hound.
Yeah.
He's up to all sorts, isn't he?
He's that's licorice.
Yeah, he's deceptively good.
Mm.
He actually is. He's very, very good.
Very strong.
Very effective. And I like Dai Young giggling when Joe Marler dropped the elbow on, was it Rowlands? Will Rowlands, the second row. He dropped the elbow and got a yellow card. I like Dai Young's giggling at it.
Ospreys performed pretty well against Saracens.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great.
And the Ospreys really not been playing particularly well at the moment.
Yeah, and they lost Lydiot and Tipperick before kickoff.
Yeah, I know. Did you see, we'll retweet it later, did you see the Scott Baldwin pictures of his bite on his hand?
Yeah.
A lot worse than you thought. Well, I thought.
Yeah, it's not nice, that, is it?
No, proper big gash in there.
Yeah, horrible.
I know, he's back player now. But yeah,
he's been quite funny about it, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, Ospreys picked up 2 bonus points there, but you know, Saracens are still probably the number one team. La Rochelle, mind.
Yeah, they're great.
They are great.
Yeah, they're great. They're a great team. They've they got some mega players in that team. They've also got a lot of players that you've never heard of. Actually properly produce. And what I quite like about watching La Rochelle last season, mainly in the early parts of this season, is that they're often in a really tough spot and they dig themselves out of it. And there seems to be a huge amount of belief. And that one is generalised too much. A lot of promising French teams haven't shown that over the generations, and they have.
I tell you what was quite a surprising result. It was my old team, the Blues, beating Toulouse.
Yeah, that was a surprise result.
Yeah, I know. It was 15-0 to Toulouse, half-time as well. Yeah. Blues come back, beat them 17-15.
Bloody well done. Bloody well done.
Yeah, 3 cheers.
Good lads, 3 cheers.
Question time. You're watching Scrums again on your phone, are you?
No, I'm watching a little clip of Victor Vito's hands.
Crazy, isn't
Velcro
it?
Velcro hands in that La Rochelle game. What a player.
Can you retweet that later? Are you able to do that?
I'll do it now, mate.
Okay.
You got some questions?
We have got some questions. Just before I forget, there will not be a podcast next week because Flats is away, unfortunately, so we can't do it.
Is that the truth?
I'm away.
Right. We're going to have a week off, aren't we, mate?
Spring break. I mean, half term.
we're going to have a little break.
We're going to have a week off. We do have some live podcasts coming out through Fuller's and Guinness.
Yeah.
And we've mentioned these before. We're just waiting to confirm the dates and the guests. So make sure you follow us on Twitter and we'll put
all the details about buy tickets and that sort of stuff if you want to come. But November 13th is being mooted as the first one, isn't it? Which is reasonably soon. And that's with Sam Warburton.
Yeah.
And that's in Bath, I think. Is that right?
It is Bath. It's in a pub called The Huntsman.
The Huntsman. We used to call it something else. But yeah, it rhymes with Huntsman. Good pub, actually. Yeah, I saw
Trump
Warby Warbers on Friday night at Llanelli. And he straight away was like, look forward to seeing you on November the 13th. So he knows the date. It's in his mind. He's pumped for it.
He's good. Right, some questions on Twitter. We've got John Paul Richards. Can you see Owen Williams and Thomas Young being brought into the England squad on residency? No, because they've both been capped.
Wake up, Chief.
Do your research.
Do your research like Shanks had to take a break to do earlier.
And did a wee. Don't ever tweet rubbish like that again.
Otherwise, a shame, isn't it?
I will find you.
When they get it that, they get it that wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. Here's a question. Who are the
One guy on email, by the way. I've forgotten his name now, but he emailed in saying, sorry, guys, I'm 18 pods behind. I'm trying to catch up. But what do you think about line selection for the second? And I was like, you told us you're months behind. And then you're asking a question that's relevant to the pod you just listened to. He's like, don't ever do that again.
Is he thinking 2021, though, selection?
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Ross Adnet on Twitter. Mm. You've met both of these players now. Who do you think has got the bigger head physically now? So size-wise. Xavier Rush or Jamie Roberts?
Oh, that's not easy. Pair of cowheads, aren't they?
Mm.
I actually say Jamie Roberts.
Mm.
I say Jamie Roberts.
Okay. Ross Evans wants to know, did you enjoy Astor 44?
Yes, we did, didn't we? Had a lovely time, didn't we?
Yeah.
I left there stuffed, actually, absolutely bloated. Very, very nice.
RG on Twitter is talking about Ben Whitehouse and Morgan Parra back on. I think we've gone through that.
I felt sorry for Ben Whitehouse because you always feel sorry for someone who's getting criticised as widely as that. He's done his best. You know, there's every chance he'll develop into a very good ref, but it just, you know, missed a few things at the weekend.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes, but they're costly at the top level, I guess.
James Whittaker wants to know, gents, have you ever played against each other? What happened?
Oh, I remember I smashed you in Wrexham.
Yeah. I can't remember who won that game, but I remember it being Jason Robinson's first cap as well.
Was it?
Yeah. He was at 15.
I remember being against Ben Evans.
I'm sure we have talked about this before, but Flat said, oh, God, I smashed you in that game. I was like, did you?
Yeah, buried him.
And this went on for ages and ages. Eventually, we found a video of the game. And that hit, wow.
Yeah,
you are aggressively passive.
We won that. we won that game comfortably. I actually can't remember the score. Got no idea about the score.
Yeah. Not too many questions here.
Well, no, too many good ones.
A lot of people enjoying the Xavier Rush podcast. Thanks.
One question I had on email was around, do you think you're ever going to get to a point in rugby whereby the national game stops mattering so much like football and it's all about the clubs? And I think you're probably not, actually. I know the game's changing, but there's so much invested in playing for your country. And that's, firstly, there's put the pride and all that stuff aside, because there's always going to be that. But actually, in England, certainly, is a massive financial incentive to play for England.
Yeah.
There's also, you know, post-rugby, in terms of endorsements and profile, it changes your life having played for England. I'm sure it's the same in Wales, but your profile's that much higher in
England than it is playing for your club.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're the only reasons. But
whilst you probably wouldn't say that with Premiership football teams.
Yeah, it's not. So you get more profile playing for Man United than you do for England. So there's more in it. You get, and it leads to more. It's not the only reason people want to play for England, but I think because of those things added to the pride and drive and all that sort of stuff, I think we won't get there.
What would you do in Reece Webb's shoes?
I would honour what I'd signed.
Mm.
Actually,
yeah,
I think he will.
I would as well.
And I would be talking really gently to the WRU and to Gatland and saying, if there is a complete misunderstanding, they can't punish him for that. But they're saying they told his agent, aren't they? And is that right?
They're saying they told Derwin Jones, who is his agent. But
Derwin's fully switched on, so he would have known the score.
But the legal argument then would be, were the terms signed before the announcement was made by the WRU?
I would be honouring it, but I would be...
But you've also got to think,
conversation,
like,
and trying to get around it.
For him now, you know, he's 28 years old. It's a big contract for him.
Yeah.
Probably two more contracts left in his playing career. You know, you've got to start looking at life after rugby and setting yourself up. Now, we talked a little bit about this last week, about you were saying that there needs to be more of an incentive to stay in Wales. And potentially the higher the incentive, the incentive could be, for higher, I don't know whether it's win bonuses or fees from the WRU to play for Wales, because at the moment it's nowhere near England.
Isn't it?
No, it's not. I don't exactly know the exact figures, but that's going to be the incentive.
And it's one of those things that people get really riled about this and say, well, it shouldn't be about money playing for your country, but
it's a job.
It's not your job.
No.
It's their job. And, you know, that's like saying, well, that bloke that works for Shell Petrol shouldn't be motivated by bonuses. It's like, well, why not? It's his job, you know.
Yeah.
It's his earnings. And to say that these guys get, you know, I'd do it for free. It's like, no, that's different. These guys played rugby for free for years until they were 18.
Yeah.
But actually, they're a world away from the player, you know, that plays on a Sunday morning. It's their job. It's a huge amount of stake.
I know it's easy to say this, but, you know, the WU should, as a way to keep players, is to up your match bonus and your win bonus, because, you know, that's the reason why they are going across the border and across the France. It is because of money, because they want to capitalise what they can.
We're being generous with someone else's money here, but...
But the WU are in profit. You know, they've had another good year.
Mm.
The debt's going down. They're making more money. So there is money there, but it's how it's invested, you know, through the grassroots. So, yeah. I mean, if I had a crystal ball, that's what I'd do.
Mm. Have you not got a crystal ball?
Or
a
lamp.
All right. Should we call it a Doris Day, mate?
Yeah.
I've got to go. I'm going to Surrey for lunch, actually.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah, so swanky.
Yeah, so sorry there's no pod next week, but...
Hey, we don't have to apologise, mate. They understand. You need a break. You're stressed out at the moment.
I'm off the flow rider.
Your hair's fallen out. One last question, Flats, on email from Gareth Thomas. Not the Gareth Thomas. Gareth Thomas from Kent. Is it true you recently turned down an MBE for services to rugby? Yes, it is.
Really?
Yeah. Okay, see you in 2 weeks, guys.
Bye.